Welcome back, everyone, to The Xamarin Show. I'm your host, James Montemagno. With me, I'm so crazy excited, this super, super early morning,
indeed,
my good friend and friend of the show, developer extraordinaire, Xamarin MVP, all the way from Chicago,
yep,
Michael Stonis from APOD. How's it going, buddy?
Pretty good.
Oh,
glad to be here. It's very exciting.
Yeah.
I mean, it's definitely early, but it's still very exciting. Really excited to be here.
Yeah, after that intro, how could you not be excited?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's pretty good.
So that was a lot of things all in one. I'm super excited about our topic today. First, some people may not know who the Michael Stonis is.
Sure.
Maybe not.
Most people probably don't know who I am. Yeah.
If you could tell the people a little bit about yourself and what you're doing here.
Yeah, so I work at a company called 8bot, and we work as basically Xamarin consultants. Mm-hmm. So we help out companies whenever they have issues building mobile applications, if they're looking to get started in mobile, things like that. That's kind of what I do day to day. Got started with Xamarin a long time ago, all the way back in the Novell days.
Okay, so, yeah, way like, before quite, me almost, probably, actually, yeah.
And I kind of used to work on the BizTalk side of things for Microsoft and just noticed a lot of people kind of getting interested in the mobile side, so switched over to there. So,
okay.
So I guess it's been about 5 or 6 years now. Time's kind of gone by pretty quick. But helping people build mobile applications, doing a lot of stuff with Reactive UI and,
cool,
and kind of working with the community.
Awesome. iOS, Android guy, Windows guy,
all right.
Mac
so,
guy.
I mean, I'm all over the place because,
okay,
you know, I used to be like a huge Linux fan.
Yeah.
And that's actually how I kind of like got into Mono to begin with. And like sort of .NET to begin
so
with.
So I take my .NET and I want to run it everywhere,
well,
right?
Yeah,
right.
And so I used to run Ubuntu, and there was this application called Banshee, which mm-hmm, I don't know if you ever heard of it. Mm-hmm. It was kind of like Winamp, but on Linux, right?
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And I wanted to write a plugin for it, and that used Mono, so I kind of got involved in there. But anyway, so sort of get on everything, right? So really like Linux, kind of like the Mac. The more I use the Mac, I like that quite a bit. But iOS, Android, I like running Android because it feels like Windows. Like I can customize
it,
and
like
I can do
over
all this kind of cool stuff. But developing for iOS is just a million times better. So, from a development perspective, iOS all day long. From a phone, I carry a Pixel though. I love it.
Interesting. Yeah, I'm Android all day, every day.
It's just
like I love the quirkiness. It's so crazy. It's quirky.
I would love to love the quirkiness if it didn't cause me to have all these gray hairs and everything. You know, so like. Yeah,
I love it. So today, well, we're talking about reactive extensions and reactive UI.
Yeah, I figured we'll talk about both because they kind of play together hand in hand.
Okay.
You know, sort of one feeds into the other. Yeah. So how familiar are you with reactive extensions?
Extremely little. Essentially, I know that I was talking about coming on the Xamarin Show doing this stuff, and you're like, you got to have Michael on talk about reactive. And, you know, Mike Bluestein, who I used to work with.
Yeah.
Is a lovely individual.
Absolutely.
He gave a talk on reactive extensions, and what he showed was like a Bing like search or what image search.
Sure, sure.
And he said, you know, normally what you would do, this is how he explained it to me, and you maybe explain it.
Yeah.
How about you explain it in terms of, explain it to a child, right?
Sure.
That's so, me right now.
Very good, yeah. And this is how I like to think about things because, I think I saw Mike's presentation. There's this guy, Paul Betts, who used to work at GitHub, and now he's over at Slack. And he gave a presentation at Evolve. And when I first saw it, I was like, man, it's complicated. How do I learn this? And that's what I've kind of spent some time trying to distill it and figure out what it is. So the best thing I can relate it to is fishing. You ever go fishing?
Yeah.
Okay. So when you go fishing, you cast your line. Right, and if you go with me and my kids, they like to have a bobber out there, right? Because it's too difficult to do anything else. So you cast your line, you have your bobber sitting out there in the water, and then you just kind of hang out, right?
Yeah.
Maybe you'll catch a fish, maybe you're not going to catch a fish.
Got it.
But the idea is you're just going to wait there until the bobber goes down, mm-hmm, and that notifies you that there's something on the line.
Yeah.
Right? So that's kind of how observables work, or reactive extensions work in a way, where what we're going to say is, I'm interested in some data. It might come right away, like you might catch a fish immediately. You might be waiting all day and never catch a fish, or you might get some periodically in between. So the idea is we're just going to say, I want to listen to this stream. I want to listen to this bobber. And whenever it catches something, give me that information, right?
Okay.
So we could reel it in. We could take those fish. We could do anything with those fish that we want. So in a way, that's kind of how reactive extensions works.
Yeah, normally, like in the normal model that I think is that essentially, I don't know if I can do a fish analogy of it, but normally it's like, hey, I'm going to, someone clicks on this, I get an event back that says, hey, someone clicked on this.
Right.
I go and make that call, and then it comes back to me, and then I go update it, right?
Yes.
So in that instance, like I'm the one, you know, telling us if there's a fish on the wire, essentially,
and,
right?
Yeah, and that's a that's a good example, because when you think about it, you know, especially in doing mobile applications, there's two things that come back to us time and time again. Mm-hmm. Asynchronous processing, and then event-based, you know, event-based applications. Sure. Is it a button click? Is it a drag and a drop? Was there an update somewhere on a server where they're pushing me an update, maybe using SignalR or something like that?
Yeah.
And the reactive extensions just give us a really nice way to filter, process that data, and consume it in our applications.
Okay.
It's sort of like, it's essentially like the opposite of IEnumerable, right? Mm. So if you think of IEnumerable, we go...
List, just a list. Like, people don't know IEnumerable.
Yeah,
it's
just
a
list of data.
List of data.
And it like, when we use IEnumerable, it's like, say, we go to an API, I get some data back, and then I chunk through it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
We do it all day,
all
every single day.
Every demo I ever give.
It's everything.
Every app I've ever created.
Instead, with the reactive extensions, what we're going to do is we're going to create these things called observables.
Okay.
So it's like I observable instead of I enumerable.
Mm-hmm.
And now what we're doing is we're saying, I want some data. Here it is. I'm going to set it up. And then maybe when that API comes back, I'm going to process and filter this data. Or like in the example that you gave, when I click this button, I want to do something with those event args as they come in. Maybe I want to filter them out. Maybe I want to modify the data that came in on those event args, something like that. So it just gives us these really powerful extensions to do all that kind of processing.
So when we talk about observables, is this a special class? I know about observable collections, which are a base in system collections.
Right.
Are they similar? Is there differences there?
Similar, yeah. Okay. So similar concept. So observable collections are just an, you know, it's like iNotify property changed on a list.
Something
happened. The reactive extensions are a set of libraries that you could bring in via NuGet package into your application. They've been around for quite a bit of time, too. I think it's 2008, 2009 that they were
Microsoft,
introduced.
Wasn't it a project at Microsoft?
Absolutely was, yeah, which is pretty interesting because when you look at where it's at nowadays, too, it's been pretty popular in like the Java world, JavaScript world.
Yeah.
When I talk to like .NET developers, a lot of people are like, yeah, I've seen that, but it doesn't seem like it's for me. And I'm like, no. So yeah, it's kind of those, you know, it's been around for a while. It's got all those sort of notification features. And anyway, like I said, you just add it via NuGet package and bring it into your app there.
Yeah, and now I see that there's, it's often called RX, I heard, as often, right? But there's RX, or reactive extensions. It's for everything though, right? So if you were creating like an ASP.NET website or JavaScript, right? So it's not just mobile apps. We're going to talk about mobile apps today, but from my understanding, is like there is like in a reactive extension model for everything. Like,
absolutely, just that, you know, just same the way that you would use like Link in an application.
Yeah.
And a lot of these pieces are sort of like extensions of Link when you look at
it.
Sort of that that fluent application building and composing.
It's good.
Yeah, I'll show you some examples.
I
think you like this.
Okay.
But yeah, same kind of idea.
Cool. Well, let's jump into it. I'll show the people where we get started.
Yeah.
Which I'm super interested in, because again, I literally know very little about.
You got it. So there's two applications.
In life, just not very much. That's why I have the Xamarin show.
Right?
People tell me what's going on.
Tell me about it.
Yeah.
So there's two sites that I always recommend people take a look at first. So it could be a little bit daunting, but there's one site I'll actually switch over here first, and we'll take a look at this. So this site is intro2rx.com.
Okay.
So if you're saying, you know, if we're having this conversation, you're like, Mike, what is reactive extensions? I want to deep dive in. I really want to learn what's going on inside of there. This is a great place to start. So. Everything from kind of where do I begin, you know, sort of what happens with these sequences, so how can I aggregate data, how can I filter data, how can I transform data, and then, you know, additional things like side effects or, you know, what happens if I want to combine data together, things like that. So
it looks consumable, only like not, there's a few parts and not that much in each part. I like that.
Yeah, really easy read. I think the guy who puts it together, I'm going to totally, Lee Campbell, you go, does a fantastic job with this.
Nice.
You could pull it down as like an ebook if you want to, read it on the Kindle.
Cool.
Really great resource. I even come back to this from time to time just to get up to speed on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so this is core reactive extensions.
Got it.
If you're interested in using the reactive UI parts, which are sort of a, it's an MVVM framework with using the reactive extensions.
Oh, okay.
We have the site here called reactiveui.net. So the same guy that I mentioned before, Paul Betts, created this. If you've ever used the GitHub for desktop or GitHub desktop application before, that's all using reactive UI.
Oh, okay.
If you've used the GitHub plugin for Visual Studio, it's using reactive UI. But great site here that kind of gives you an idea of how to get started using reactive UI, how to plug it into your applications. As you can see, it's basically supported on just about every platform for Reactive UI. I mean,
iOS,
all the way
Android.
Going down to Windows Forms, right?
I love
so
WinForms.
Check that out.
Oh,
that's how I got started, right?
That's how I got started.
Yeah, it was
well,
pretty fun.
I wrote command line text adventures first.
Oh, really?
Well, I actually started in Turbo Pascal.
Really?
was, yeah, probably one of my first languages. Like, I skipped BASIC, and I messed around a little bit with BASIC.
Sure, sure.
Then I got into Turbo Pascal, and just Pascal in general. I was like, this is the coolest thing ever. I was, like, doing little GDI graphics. And then,
right.
And then, I mean, eventually I found C Sharp, and not until college.
Actually. Yeah.
This was all high school, which was cool. But when I did WinForms development, which was the first Windows development ever, I was like, oh, this is great. You're just like drag controls around, right? Just like you're making apps.
It was incredible, right? It's always what I thought software development should be when I first started using it. Like I drag and drop, and I write some code in the back.
Yeah,
Felt fun.
But this is nice because I talk to developers all the time. They're like, I'm making mobile apps, but I'm still supporting WPF apps.
Or you got it.
I'm still working on a UWP app next or something like that. So it supports everything.
Yeah, so it's a really lightweight. So if we're talking about Reactive UI in general, it's extremely lightweight.
Okay.
It's not very opinionated. So I know you had, I'm going to probably say his name wrong, Laurent. Yep. Talking about MVVM Lite.
Mm-hmm.
It's in a way the same kind of idea.
Okay.
Right? So, you know, with MVVM Lite, you use the parts that you want. You don't use the parts that you don't want to use, right?
Yeah.
Reactive UI is the same sort of concept. It's extension methods. It has helpers for the different platforms just to make them more reactive friendly, if you will. And then it's just a bunch of other plugins for doing the typical MVVM stuff, helping with iNotify property change, letting us do bindings, things like that in our applications. So they could come out here. Pretty good site. There is a compelling example. So we could take a look at this one really quick, to be honest with you. So if you look here, what we're going to have is a search query. So I think you're talking about a Bing search, right?
Yeah.
And how often, if you're writing sort of a search query, what you're going to do is you're going to say, you have a text box at the top. You think of like Bing search, Google search, something like that. You type in text, and then we want results to come back to
us. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
So what we're doing in this case is we're going to use this method call here called whenAny. And we're saying is, you know, I want to be notified whenever any value changes here with my search query. So we have a property here called search query. The second parameter here is going to say, I only am interested in search when I actually have a value. Okay. Because, you know, you don't want to do a search if there's just blank text or something like that.
Yeah,
right?
That makes sense.
So this is going to create our observable. So out of here, we're going to have that observable. And then from here, what we could do is we can create a command, right? So we could say, essentially, using this task, right, we're going to take in the string that we have from our search query, and we're going to attempt to call into a search service. So essentially, this is just a supercharged version of iCommand.
Got it. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. I want to
rig it up to a user interface. This will be assigned to a button click or something like that. If you look at this though, it's gonna execute this method for searchService.search, and it's gonna have the second parameter in here that's canSearch. The idea here is that second parameter is gonna tell us whether or not we can execute this command.
Okay.
So if we're using binding on a button. As long as canSearch is false, which means that, you know, we don't have any search value, nobody's entered text in the screen, our button will be disabled.
Okay.
Right, so it's kind of cool, kind of an interesting thing that we could do there. The commands themselves, then, are going to return data. So in this case, we're going to get a list of search results returned back to us.
Okay.
Using that data that we get back, we could subscribe to it. Right, so it's kind of, you know, split apart. Sometimes you might write this as one, you know, bigger statement.
Big, huge,
here. But you can see we've got subscribe out here. We could take our results and then we could push them into a list of items.
Okay, so it says essentially here. So I say the first is I'm thinking of the setup in my mind. It's like
All right.
So this is the thing that I want you to listen to, right? This search query.
Exactly.
And then it says, when that kind of happens, this is what you're going to do with it, and this is when you can do it.
Right.
And then when that thing occurs, this is what I want you to do.
Exactly.
So
when I get
those
results,
I'm thinking like a test,
back.
Like an end unit setup. It's like when this, then this, and then this, right?
Exactly. Yeah. Right.
Okay. Got it. Okay.
Yeah,
so then there's some other stuff down here.
Mm-hmm. So in addition to that, when we get our search results, a lot of times you might have an exception that gets thrown.
Sure.
Something doesn't process right, something happens along the way.
Internet goes out.
Especially if we're on mobile, right? That's going to happen all the time. So what we could do is we could listen to that command and we can see if there's any thrown exceptions.
Oh, interesting.
So without having to do like, try catch or anything like that, we could just say, hey, command, if you throw an exception, we want to do something with it. So we could subscribe to those, maybe prompt them, maybe we log it out, depending on what our application is doing. Additionally then, you can see at the bottom is we have this whenAny value for search query. So what we're going to do here is it's actually going to be a throttle. So again, if we're doing a typing, you know, sort of that type ahead search, a lot of times you don't want to do it on every single key press, go and do a search. So what we could say in this case is we're going to delay 1 second every time they type in. So, we're going to throttle them back 1 second. We're not going to delay. We're actually going to queue up text for a second, and then we'll push that through an attempt to do a search.
That makes sense. So if you're jamming on your keyboard really quick, wait until I'm done.
Exactly. Yeah.
Interesting.
So pretty neat. And the cool part about this is that this is all like in your view model layer. Right?
Yeah,
so
it's
like,
all shared code.
No, right, exactly. No, nothing to do with your user interface. Really nice and testable. Mm-hmm. We could even do things because with reactive extensions, we could kind of time shift and things like that. So if you ever need to test a timeout that goes for 10 or 15 minutes,
yeah.
There's ways that we could help time shift some of these things to push them in the future or push them in the past, things okay. like that. So pretty neat stuff.
Now, is what we're seeing right here, is this a blend of reactive extensions and reactive UI, or what
it
are we
is.
Seeing?
It's a little bit okay. of both, yeah. All so right. what might be a good thing to do is I've got a couple of examples here.
All right, let's do that.
And
yeah.
we could start off just sort of looking at the extensions themselves and okay. then back into how reactive UI gets used.
Let's
right?
do it. I'm in.
Cool. So I've got a sample application here. It is running Xamarin Forms.
Okay.
And it's just, yep. we'll take a look at it on iOS. All right. This application, it's essentially just a bunch of demos for different parts of the reactive extensions.
Okay.
So here's a bunch of the features, how do we call into them, and what happens when we use them.
Got it.
Right?
So, would you say that the search box is the de facto
reactive?
Because every framework has to have a de facto.
Yeah.
Okay, got it.
Yep. This is pretty good, and then when we get to reactive UI, I'll show you like the de facto
okay.
demo there too, right?
Got
so,
it.
But it's like it's really easy to conceptualize because
yeah.
it's something as developers we just do all the time.
All the time, that makes sense.
So if we take a look at the user interface here, I've got my text box. I'm going to type in some text and we'll mm-hmm. expect it to delay out. So I'm going to say Xamarin. Oh, not Cameron.
Cameron. Always the classic. The iOS is very aggressive on it. Oh, cool. Look at this.
So you can see it's kind of filling in cool. on the screen here with a delay after I type, right?
Oh, interesting. Okay.
So and then
are these
I,
showing all the queries of when it's actually executing, essentially?
Exactly, right. So every
Got
time
it.
I make a key change there, it's being delayed and then pushed out to the user interface.
Oh, interesting.
If we take a look at the code here.
It's just pretty cool to watch.
It's pretty neat, isn't
pretty
it?
Pretty cool to watch. Like, whoa,
it makes for
typing?
A good demo.
Yeah.
Get this out of the way. All right, so if we take a look at how this is set up. One of the cool things that you could do with observables is you could build them off of events.
Okay.
Right. So in this case, I've got it's a Xamarin Forms application, and I've got an entry control on the screen.
Mm-hmm.
And that entry control is going to raise an event called text changed.
Yep.
So what I can do with that is I can create an observable from an event pattern.
Okay.
So what that means is that every time this observable event gets fired, it's basically going to put something in the queue for my observable stream.
Is this an event to command type setup then?
It's event to observable.
Event to observable. Okay,
yeah.
Got it. Okay.
So a few cool things that are going on here, right? So you can see, for one, I've got this from event pattern, which essentially is going to create this item out of here. If we hover over, it's an I observable of my reactive event pattern, right?
Okay.
So it's essentially going to give me my my event args out there
okay.
at the end of it. What I could do with that, though, is I could say anytime that event gets fired off,
mm-hmm.
let's delay that event by 3 seconds.
Okay.
So hold up that event from firing off by 3 seconds. And then I could use link just like I would before. I could select that data out, or I could filter it down further if I wanted to. So in this case, with the event args that get raised, really all that I'm interested in, it's I don't care about the sender that came from the event args, or the sender that came from the event being raised.
Yeah.
I just care about the event args. And realistically, I just care about the new text value.
Okay, got it.
So I'm going to use link to filter that data down further.
Got it.
Okay, so that's sort of one half of reactive extensions is mm-hmm. sort of this observable idea.
Observable thing, yeah.
The other half, which we really haven't talked about too much here, is the subscription portion.
Okay.
So here, what I'm going to have is those observables. So
that
these
you just
are being
created.
Raised.
Yep.
Exactly. They're being raised, and now it's telling, hey, here's the new text value, here's the new text value. Out here, then, what I'm going to do is I'm going to subscribe
okay.
to that observable.
Okay.
So you could have one-to-many subscriptions to an observable. So if you imagine, as this is firing off data, maybe I want one subscriber to filter it and show it on the user interface.
Mm-hmm.
I want another subscriber to log it out to a database or maybe something like that.
Okay, got it.
So what we're going to do here in this example is I'm just going to use that to update entries in a list view or a stack. I think it's a stack layout in this example.
Yeah, so it's actually just adding items to a list. So it's not a list view. So I'd assume that here an easier way of doing this is saying whenever this comes in, pipe it into my observable collection and then
yeah.
it updates the list view. But this one, you're just saying, like, I'm actually literally creating my user interface on the fly here in a stack layout.
Exactly, yeah.
Interesting.
It's maybe not the most performant way to do this.
Yeah, but why not? But,
it's just for a demo purpose.
Yeah, for demo purposes, yeah.
Right. So, cool. So it's kind of that two pieces. The first piece is getting that observable that's going to provide you the information,
yep.
and then the second piece is subscribing
what
to
What to
it.
Do with it when it's... Now, I see that you're doing a begin invoke on main thread. This is super important because we don't know what thread it's going to
potentially, yeah,
come back
and,
on.
And we'll have some things I'll show you in the reactive UI space where we can tell it specifically which thread to run things on, which is it's really interesting and kind of neat.
Cool.
Really nice feature. But just just for safety purposes,
Makes
I've just got everything wrapped up there.
Makes sense. I always almost even recommend sometimes you gotta be sure when you're doing a raise property change notification, make sure it's on the UI thread, you know?
Absolutely.
So, yeah.
So so if we take delay, simple example.
Yep.
Let's take a look at throttle. So throttle, we could say here again, howdy, James.
Hi.
We'll give it a second, and it's all going to come in as one thing.
Okay.
So you can see it's going to take all those values that have changed, it's going to wait a time period, and then it's going to push out those changes.
Then do it, okay, yeah.
Right, so unlike the delay, where the delay was giving us every
Constant.
Single notification, this one's going to group them together and then give us one notification
nice.
For
that
it.
That makes sense. Yeah, it's like in the Evolve Conference app, like often, I had to do it was actually quite a bit of code, and you can look at it. It's like I'm doing all these task delays and seeing if values change and doing all this stuff. And so as people are typing, I don't want to do a search every time. I want to wait for them
right.
to stop. So
and normally doing that type of code is kind of a pain, right?
Yeah,
I mean, it's something where you might put in a timer.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to have maybe a buffer out there,
and
you're just queuing that stuff up and waiting for those changes before you actually notify.
Got it.
Here, it's just one line of code.
Huh.
So if I want to throttle, just like we did before, we're going to say, hey, throttle this thing off for 3 seconds. Just like we did with delay. So what's neat about this, again, is that it kind of starts looking the same.
Yeah.
We throttled, we delayed, it's almost the exact same code. And the code
Got
below
it.
Here is literally the exact same.
The same code, just entering it in there. Got it.
Yep. And what's neat, so again, if we come back to here, we could buffer. So here are some changes. What that's going to do is buffer up all those changes for a period of time and give it to us all those changes in one big notification block.
Okay.
Right? So here's everything that I typed. From the start of this period to the end of this period, and there you go.
Got it. And consistent and coming in over and over again, right?
Obviously, yeah.
Consistently.
So again, if we look at this, if we go to the buffer, this code looks remarkably similar, right? So I'm going to say here again.
Got
here's
it.
Our buffer. Buffer these things up for 3 seconds. Give me all the changes that happen in 3 seconds, but give them to me as one block.
Got it. Okay.
The only thing that really changes on this one here is I've got a select statement, so slightly different link call.
New line.
Exactly. All I'm going to do is I'm going to take all those different text entries that were notified out and just group them together.
Got it. Makes sense.
Again, really just for the user interface to group it up there.
That makes sense. And that's kind of cool because in your observable, you're literally telling the subscriber, this is the stuff to process. You don't have to process this. Just take this string that I give you.
Here it is.
Here it is.
This is it.
I've processed it for you.
I've done everything for you.
Yeah, you're good.
Exactly right. Yeah.
Cool.
They don't need to know anything about it, which is great because they just say, this is the data that I care about.
Got it.
Give it to me.
Got it.
If we don't want to get these notifications all the time,
we keep on. Very interesting pipe arrows that you have here, by the way.
Oh, yes. It is a font called Fira Code.
There you go. In case
Fira Code. Highly recommended.
Got it. In case you're wondering what those are just the Lambda pipes.
Yeah, sorry.
Got it. Perfect.
This is new age. Come on.
Very, very cool.
All right, so let's take a look.
Okay.
So imagine, though, with this buffer example, maybe we don't want to constantly get these notifications.
Yeah.
Well, this is where we could start introducing more and more link into our calls. Mm-hmm. So I could say, again, we'll say, howdy, James. Right, and I'll get those two notifications out here for while I had data. And now if we wait for 3 seconds, you'll see I don't continuously get notifications.
Got it, yeah.
And so this is, again, something that I think is pretty neat because all of us as .NET developers, or at least most of us, are familiar with using link day in and day out.
Yeah.
I don't know how I'd write code without link anymore.
Yeah, I love
it's
link.
It's so crazy,
Yeah.
So what we could do in this case is we could start introducing things like where statements or where clauses. I only care about this args list if there actually is one that came in.
Oh, nice.
If I got null in, if I didn't actually get any arguments
then don't worry about
let's
it.
Not even do anything here.
Okay.
So we could start introducing these little features here and there. So these are kind of nice little intros. Let's do something a little bit more interesting. So in this case, what I have here is this is actually going out to Reddit to get information. So
nice.
It's going to a few different subreddits on Reddit and just getting the latest stories for me.
In real time?
In real time.
Whoa.
So it's constantly polling in the back there and it's looking for data. And what it's going to do is it's just going to update the user interface with the most recent stories that are coming in there.
Oh, cool.
Hopefully there's nothing bad that comes through. I can't guarantee that.
Yeah, it's Reddit.
Right, yeah, you can't, you don't know 100%. Here, they're even talking about Chicago. That's
there
a good
you go.
Thing. Right. So in this case, it's doing a scan. So what's interesting about this is if we take a look at the code here, and it gets if we take a look at our code here, We can see basically what I'm telling is this: I want to create a new observable based on an interval.
Okay.
So every 10 seconds, I want you to go to Reddit and get me some new information.
Yeah, that's my event that's occurring. Right before it was, I'm entering some text.
Right.
That was the event that I'm essentially observing on.
Right.
In this instance, I'm creating like this timer event that says, hey, literally like, hey, every 10 seconds.
Every 10 seconds,
give this. Go do this thing. Got it.
Yep. And what's nice about this as well is, again, it's not like I had to pull in the timer class. Mm-hmm. I don't have like an event that's firing off for a timer that I need to subscribe to later. It all kind of flows together as one big list of information. Right, so I say, give me this timer at this interval, every 10 seconds. We're gonna essentially prime it here. So I'm gonna say, start with zero. I don't wanna wait 10 seconds for me to notify. I want this just to notify immediately. So again, you know, if you have something like a text entry and you don't know if somebody's ever gonna type into it or a button, but you want like a default behavior, you want it to just go immediately, we could use start with to prime that observable, which is kind of neat, right?
Yep.
Again, what we're going to do for this is we're going to make a call out here to go to multiple RSS feeds and pull that data in.
Okay.
Interestingly enough, though, we can make async and await calls in here. So we can say use a select many, and what this will do is we could say async and await and give us back out a list of RSS entries.
Oh, okay, got it.
So kind of neat. We could await that code and get that back here. And then finally, what we're going to use is this thing called scan. So scan's gonna have two parameters in it. It's gonna have an accumulator and then our new values.
Okay.
So the accumulator is all the news articles in this case that we received previously.
Got it.
So here's the list that we got from the last call or whatever we've buffered up. And then we're gonna get our new items in.
Okay.
So what we could do in this case is compare our new items against our old items and just add the new ones to our list and not have to fully refresh our list or fully clear everything out.
So
kind of a nice way for us to pull that data together. We're gonna do a little bit of comparison out here. And then again, at the very end of it, we're just going to subscribe to that information, and we're going to update our item source in this case, right?
Yeah, that
we've
makes
got
sense.
A list view.
So it actually just updates the UI over and over again. Or just if it was an observable collection, it would automatically do it.
Exactly.
Right? But this is kind of nice because you may not be using Xamarin Forms, so this is like how you would do it in that instance, right?
Exactly, yeah. We could do an observable collection. Mm-hmm. There's nicer ways we could do it again. It's just for a demo, you know, so we just want to do
What's this dispose with thing that I keep seeing?
Ah, yes, dispose with.
Okay,
so this is an extension method.
Okay.
And there are two classes that come with the reactive extensions that are pretty neat. So first one is going to be this item called composite disposable.
Okay.
So have you ever built like a user interface where you've got a ton of different, you know, native controls on it or a ton of items that implement iDisposable?
Yeah, yeah.
And then in your dispose method, you go through and it's dot dispose.
All of them.
Dot
dispose, it's not,
dot
no,
dispose,
suppose,
dot dispose. Yeah. So what you could do with this, and the way that these observables work is that they're going to all implement iDisposable. So that whenever I set up this observable, so this whole little bit of logic up here, everything through scan, is going to be an iObservable, which also implements iDisposable. So when I want to get rid of it, I just dispose of it.
Okay,
right?
Got it.
And so what these extension methods here do, so if you see, dispose with, it's going to say we've got this object called composite disposable, which is kind of like a list of disposables. So I could take items, throw them into this composite disposable, then when I'm done with all of those different disposable items, I just call composite disposable.dispose, and it gets rid of all of them.
Got it, okay.
There's also another one that comes in there too called serial disposable.
Okay.
And so, you know, if you ever have a case where you're like, say, replacing an image, and you just want to get rid of that old image and you don't want to have to call dispose on that image when you're done with it, if you just add these images constantly into the serial disposable, when you add the new one in, it will dispose of the old one and kind of free it up.
Okay, got it.
So this dispose with is really just a, it's just an extension method to help us clean up these observables later on.
Cool.
Again, we could use that fluent manner just to get them in there and kind of dispose of everything.
What's the best practice here? So as far as, let's say I'm just creating an application and I go from page one where I've set up all these observables, then I go into page two. Like, do I want to dispose of it when I navigate away? Or because I don't want it to run, essentially, when the page isn't there.
That's a great question.
Yeah.
So we actually, in Reactive UI, we have this concept of activation. So it's on the Reactive UI side, but it's totally the case. Yeah, you go from page one to page two, even like all your bindings, potentially, or if you've got like an updater that's running. What we'll do is we will subscribe when we activate the page.
Okay.
And then when we leave the page or we pause the page off, we'll just unsubscribe from all those disposables.
Okay, gotcha.
It's pretty lightweight to get these set up. It's not like it's doing a whole lot just to get these subscriptions created.
Yeah.
And so it's pretty easy just for us to dispose of them and then just re-enable them later on.
Okay, cool.
Also can help from like, it's pretty nice from that case too because like, again, doing mobile development for a while, there'd be cases where I just had an event handler hanging, you know,
Hanging out there,
It's on a page three pages back, but it's still getting like notifications from something, and it's making updates
update,
in the back, right?
Got it. Cool.
So it helps us just clean up all those things pretty
nice.
Pretty nice and easily.
Very cool.
Let's do some more exciting examples, though, right?
All so, right, yeah, hit me. Hit me with your best shot here.
Best shot, let's see.
There's a lot. This is actually great, and this is just from the page, essentially, from the Reactive UI samples. You can download the source code.
This I've got on a separate repository.
Okay, we're working on making the show notes?
Yeah, absolutely, 100%, right, yeah, absolutely.
Cool, this is awesome.
But anybody could pull this down and just start messing with this.
So I see that now there's some like Reactive UI stuff on the bottom, right?
Yeah, so let's do the color slider.
Okay.
Right, this is the showstopper.
Okay,
right here,
this is the, all right, got it.
You ever built a color slider?
Yes, I have, yeah.
It's a pain in the butt,
right? Pain in the butt,
yep. So we've got these three sliders on the bottom, red, green, and blue. They're all firing off events.
Yep.
But really what we want to do is make one cohesive color out of red, green, and blue. So, you know, if we look at it from a user interface perspective, you move red, you get some red. You want to move in some green, we get some green.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, we'll do blue down here.
Got it.
Normally, we'd have a series of events. We're going to subscribe to those events, but there's a better way, right?
Yeah.
So we could use these reactive extensions to combine all these together.
Yeah, because I'm thinking right now, it's like, all right, when red slider plus equals value change, and then blue slider plus equals value change, and then maybe they go to different events, or they go to the same event, something like that is what I'm kind of thinking, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's, yeah, exactly.
That would be the normal
That's
model.
Our typical way to
yep.
do that. So we're looking at this now. This is from a Reactive UI perspective. So,
okay.
We have binding in Reactive UI. You could use the regular Xamarin Forms binding if you want. The binding here is nice because it's consistent across all the platforms.
Oh, interesting.
So if you use the Reactive UI binding on Xamarin Forms or Xamarin Android, Xamarin iOS, it all looks the same and behaves exactly the same.
Got it.
So in this case, what I'm going to have is a binding for my view model, right? So I'm going to say, we want to bind up my view model. And what I'm interested in binding on the view model is the red property.
Okay.
So the red property, I think, is just an int value,
right?
And then what we want to bind that to is our control. So C is going to be actually this page on our screen.
Okay.
I've got a slider called red,
yep.
and I just want to bind to the value changes on that slider.
Mm-hmm.
So anytime that changes, update my view model.
Got it.
Right? We're do the same thing for red, green, and blue, right? So we get all those. And then down here, what we're going to have is this piece that says when any value for color. So in our view model, we're going to have a color property that's being updated in the background, and I'll show how we do that in just a moment. You asked earlier about begin invoke on UI thread, right? Again, this is something that gets us as developers, I feel like, pretty often, especially on the mobile side, is I go and I do some updates, especially if I'm in like an event handler or something like that, don't realize that I'm in the background thread, try to update my UI and just crash out the whole app.
Yeah.
With Reactive UI, we've got these ideas here of observe on and subscribe on.
Okay.
So observe on says whenever something happens, when it's going to kind of sound goofy, whenever something happens, I want to observe this subscription on this thread.
On this thread, got it.
So it says that anything that happens in this subscribe block here now is going to run on my main thread my UI thread.
That's cool. That makes sense to me,
We could also use subscribe on so that if we're doing some like filtering or processing beforehand, we could say subscribe on maybe a task pool thread.
Okay.
So do all that filtering, processing logic somewhere else.
Somewhere else.
But when you're done doing everything, let's update the UI.
Got it.
Right, so then we're just going to update the background color of that piece here.
Got it.
If we go and take a look at the view model itself, so we'll jump over to here, you can see our base object here is Reactive Object.
Okay.
It's sort of our base view model object for everything. It gives us some nice things for iNotify property change, like raise and set if changed, if this property gets updated, stuff like that.
Yeah.
So we have just our properties out here. This is an interesting thing. So we got, all right, we have our red, our green, and our blue.
Yep.
But realistically, we want to combine those all into one.
Yeah.
So if we go down here, you'll see that we have this property called color, and it's going to be backed by this thing called an observable as property helper.
Okay.
What that means is that we're going to take an observable, we're going to combine some data, filter some data, process some data, put it together, and make a new kind of calculated property based off of those updates.
Got it.
So what I do here then is I take when any value, which means whenever I have a value change from red, green, and blue, let's pipe those together here is one, and let's just make a new color from it.
Got it. Yeah, because normally what you'd have to do is you'd have to say, all right, so on each of those underneath the set, then all your sets have all this code, and then if you add another property or change a property, you gotta, maybe you add an alpha property, so then you gotta add an alpha, and then you gotta change, you gotta make sure you don't forget it, and make sure all the logic is the same.
Right, so here we just pipe all three of those together, have it in one consistent piece. It's kind of easy to read. You know, what I like about the Reactive extensions is that at the end of the day, you kind of build a little story, right? We've got red, green, and blue coming together to make a color.
Got it.
And finally, what we're going to do is just add those as a property. So I can say, I want to take the output of this observable and convert it into this color property.
Got it.
So kind of a neat thing, right?
Yeah.
What's really compelling about this is it's not very prescriptive. You could use as much of it as you like. You could use as little of it as you like. And it's really easy to kind of, it does have a big learning curve for sure. Mm-hmm. Just like I think Link does, you know, like I remember the first time I saw
Link. To get it right,
Link,
right? You're like messing around, you know.
Select many, what's the difference? When would I use one or the other? It's the same kind of thing here, but if you put the time investment in, I feel like it really pays off because you get all these little nice filters, helper things for Link and stuff like that.
So what's your relationship with reactive extensions and reactive UI? Are you one of the maintainers, or what's the story behind you getting into it, I guess?
Yeah, so again, like I said, I went to Evolve. I saw Paul talk, and I was like, man, Paul's a pretty smart dude. He's got to be on to something. Yeah. Like, you know, like if he says something's cool, there's got to be something to it, right? So from there, just kind of started meddling with it in my free time and playing around with that stuff. Now I work with the Reactive UI team, you know, helping maintain it, bug fixes, new features, reviewing stuff for Android, things like that.
Oh,
so,
cool.
Helping out that team and kind of getting everything moving forward here.
Awesome.
It's been really cool. The Reactive UI stuff, in the last year, there's been a lot of changes, a lot of updates, moving towards getting everything up to speed with like all the new .NET Core pieces. Just getting, we have a brand new release that just came out for version 7, which adds nice little like creature comforts and stuff like that.
Nice.
So,
very cool.
Big push on that side, but really, really like being involved in that community.
I like it. It's really cool because, like you said early on the beginning, is that it's not forcing you into. It only works if you're using this framework or that framework or whatever. It's not very opinionated in that way.
Right.
Because this code I can see easily being reused in just an iOS or just an Android Xamarin project
Absolutely.
Or somewhere else. And you then update the UI for each one easily. But all your logic is staying the same.
Absolutely.
Which is nice because I'm like how I do a lot of my non-Xamarin forms applications, people are like, oh, what kind of MVVM framework are you using? I'm like, I just roll my own, right? I say, there's a property that changes, and then I literally get a thing.
I listen for it, right.
But I'm managing that, you know, on start, on stop, when am I subscribing, when am I unsubscribing? And it's not in the shared code, like when I'm observing and I'm doing things. It's a nice way to orchestrate, like you kind of said that, use that word orchestration in a way of creating when this thing happens, do this other stuff later on,
Yeah, and what's nice for me in particular is being a consultant, I'm kind of from project to project to project to project, right?
Yeah.
And what this helps with is at least put in some like amount of consistency. Mm-hmm. So when I know, you know, if you imagine like if you haven't looked at something in 6 or 8 months, you come back to code and you're like, what did old Mike do?
Yeah.
Or what did old James do, right?
Yeah.
I wrote this code, but I was crazy. What was wrong with me? At least I feel like with the reactive extensions, now that we kind of have this fluent, you know, everything kind of flows together, we get all these notifications in one spot, everything kind of reads as a story. So if I come back, especially with like very complicated applications, you know, if you imagine if you've got a page with 15, 20 buttons on it, they're just firing off events here, there, and everywhere, and you're just jumping from the top to the bottom of code. What we could do now is we could create those observables, and I get like little stories, right?
Yeah.
When this thing happens, it's going to do this little bit of filtering and send out a notification.
Got it.
I get that, and I can read it. So, helps for maintainability. At least it's kind of one of the bigger features that I found. And there was actually a blog post by Eric Sink. He works on like SQLite stuff. And I think the blog post title was like, you shouldn't use Reactive UI. And then he goes into it saying like, no, really, you should use it. It's a, you know, and he talks about it, he has a reference in there, and I think it's essentially like, you know, some cars, you know, at 35 miles an hour drive all exactly the same.
Yeah.
Some cars, if you try to take a turn at 35 miles an hour, start rattling and feel like they're falling apart, and some will feel like everything's held together. That's kind of the way that Reactive UI feels. Like, things, you know, a lot of MVVM frameworks, if you're just doing a couple simple controls, it doesn't matter what you're doing.
Yeah.
If you're going for a really complicated application, a lot of maintainability, lots of, you know, streams and processing and events, Reactive UI really helps simplify a lot of that code.
Very cool. This is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm super excited to have that you came on. And
yeah, thanks for having me.
Cool,
really
I
appreciate it.
I love the sample.
It. Yeah.
Put all the show notes and the links and the good stuff that Michael talked about today. Until next time, this is the Xamarin Show, and I'm James.